a broadcast of Power Walk, and we're so glad that you've tuned in. Our current series on the topic of forgiveness is taught by author and speaker Reverend Paul Cannings. Reverend Cannings is the senior pastor of Living Word Fellowship Church and founder and president of Power Walk Ministries. He loves sharing God's Word with you weekdays right here at this same time. Today, Dr. Cannings addresses the issue of unforgiveness in marriage and how the enemy can use it to destroy our lives, encouraging us to find some key guidelines in how we view and interact with others. Here's Dr. Cannings now with today's message titled, The Pieces of the Puzzle.
We've spent the last several days discussing the whole issue of forgiveness. Maybe not the whole issue, but many aspects of forgiveness and how it relates to our day-to-day lives from a biblical perspective and looking at it theoretically, meaning looking at biblical principles that will direct how the application of forgiveness takes place. And looking at the human dynamic and how that human dynamic plays in, but yet cannot remove our commitment to obey God. And how that will end up deepening our relationship with God when it is focused to deny ourselves, pick up the cross. It is a cross to bear. It was a cross for Jesus to bear in order to provide forgiveness for our sins. It was a cross for Joseph to bear. He wept several times as we discussed that. As we went through this issue of forgiveness, we recognize in the process, either implicitly or explicitly, that forgiveness is a result of the difficulties that relationships can be. Relationships don't always flow smoothly. In marriage, the Bible would say, I want to spare you the trouble. In other words, marriage can have its difficulties. It could have its hardships. There are issues that pop up that lead people to be very frustrated and sometimes don't know where to turn. And that's why forgiveness becomes a big issue. And that's why the principles that we shared and how we work through those principles. There's some dynamics about relationships that I would like for us to pay attention to biblically. There's some things we could do so we don't need to keep forgiving because we're not offending anybody. Well, actually, the person that is offended doesn't have to deal with it in the same way because they found a better approach to positively interact with the person in whatever scenario that may be. Here's one of the things that will help relationships to be productive. One of the key things is respect. The Bible will talk about that in 1 Peter chapter 3, when he's talking about a wife who has to be with a husband who doesn't really want to hear nothing about the Bible, not interested in what God has to say, mad if she takes money and give it to the church. You go to church, take the kids if you want, but if they don't want to go, they can stay home only for the kids to get older and hear that. And now she has to deal with that stress and that tension, and she's in the midst of it. But God is saying in that, in 1 Peter 3, to respect, to find things that are positive within that person and to lift that high, to honor what is good. And matter of fact, I love this verse in Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things have a good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on those things. Dwell on those things. Remain there. Remain there. May not be a husband in 1 Peter 3 that goes to church, but the person is a good breadwinner and is serious about being a good father. May not have done it in all the biblical tools that we learn at church, but the person is seeking to be a good father and or a good mother. So it's true. That's true. So even though you may be frustrated and angry, they don't do this and all this, and I wish he was like this person and that person. And the Bible says, again, another thing in relationships, what I throw in the middle of that is that we don't compare ourselves among ourselves. The Bible would teach us that in 1 Corinthians 10. Don't compare. So we don't walk around saying, well, I wish he was like this man at the church who seems to be dealing with his wife this way, or and his wife is functioning with her husband that way. You don't know what it's like at the house. You have no clue. So it is not wise to do that. But the Bible is saying it's true that this person is this way. It's true this person is faithful to you. It's true this person is seeking to live a life that is honorable. Those things highlight, lift up those positive things, because the Bible says that's how the peace of God, and the God of peace. God will, because you choose to trust him, because you choose to walk with him, because you choose to obey him, it is the God of peace. John would actually talk about this in John chapter 14, when Christ would say, I leave you, but I will send you peace. The God of peace, the Holy Spirit, would manifest himself in a powerful way in the life of that person. So even though they're in a much turmoil, because they choose to dwell on those things, remain on those things, highlight what is honorable, highlight what is right, highlight what is pure, and focus on these things, because they choose to trust God in that difficult a situation, God will personally seek to manage their emotions so that their emotions are at rest in the midst of turmoil. That's one of the first things we would learn, even when a wife having a Christian husband, the Bible teaches her to respect him, to keep him high, to lift him up. The Bible will tell a man to treat his wife like his own flesh. It's the same thing. You're giving her honor in that you cherish her and nourish her. You give her honor. So the Bible would say another thing attached to relationships that help us as we walk through this process. There's some principles we can jump into quickly this morning. And one of them is Romans 14, where he says, respect other people's opinion. One people may have a Martin Luther King Day. A modern person may have a St. Patrick's Day. It may not be the day you celebrate or even see as what's the point. But the Bible says, give it respect. Respect the different days the person may have. One person may be a vegan. Another person may like to eat ribs every day. And they like to eat this and they like to eat that. And you're going, oh, how could you eat red meat? But the Bible says we give respect to the different foods that the person chooses to eat. The person may have a different opinion than the other person. If it's not violating the Word of God, the Bible says, give respect to their opinions. They have a right to their opinions. Is that violating the Word of God? So why not let them have an opinion about what they think? They may say, I believe that this kind of car is better than that kind of car. There's nothing in the scriptures to say the only car that you should buy is a Ford, is a Chevy, is a Toyota. The Bible doesn't say that. So give the person the respect that that's their opinion. They believe in that this car is better than that kind of make of car. Okay, that's what your experience is. That's why you should go ahead and get that kind of car. The Bible is saying that's what leads, Romans 14, to healthy relationships. Then it talks about this in chapter 15 of Romans. Do whatever it takes to live at peace with all men. Try to come to compromises that create rest from the stress and the difficulties that difference can create. So come to compromises. It doesn't mean that a person may totally agree of something, but seek to come to compromise so that the issue goes to rest. Sometimes that doesn't work, you know, everybody knows that, because the Bible also says when it comes to relationships in Ephesians chapter 4, he would say, speak the truth in love. Anybody don't always want to hear the truth. You certainly learn that as a pastor, that everybody wants to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that your marriage is a problem because of you. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear the other person is the problem. So when you actually analyze everything and say, no, this is really what seems like from the information you've given me, doesn't mean that people are excited about that. So sometimes even when you share the truth, it doesn't always lead to peace. But the Bible says, do it in love. What is love? It's long-suffering. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. It is not selfish. It doesn't boast. So when we're doing what we're doing, we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the best of the other person. And once we're doing it for the best of the other person, whether they fully accept it or not, we don't have, here's the next thing, to convince them in order for us to feel like we can then have a relationship with them because we told them the truth. They just want to accept the truth. This is why I can't stand them. No. The Bible says we didn't have, when telling them the truth, have to therefore only have a relationship with them because we convinced them that the truth is the truth. Sometimes it doesn't convince them, but all the other steps come into play, and which is respect. Respecting the difference of opinion in that scenario, the person may just look at that issue differently. But fundamentally, they're not violating the Word of God. And in Colossians chapter 3, let me make sure I give you that particular verse. The Bible says in verse 13, do not complain against one another. And many times people get frustrated with somebody and they want to walk around complaining and complaining and complaining. And the Bible is saying, Philippians chapter 2 says, grumbling is sinful. In verse 14, he says, do all things without grumbling and disputing. So the Bible is giving us these guidelines that would hopefully lead to healthy relationships. So the issue of forgiveness is not on the table because people are following these principles that hopefully lead to healthy relationships. The fundamental thing in all of it is to love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and then love the neighbor as yourself. We put a lot of feeling into love when the Bible put obedience as love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. If you love me, you keep my commands. John 14:15. He's not saying that love has anything to do with a feeling. Love has everything to do with obedience to God. So when a person may whip their child, are they loving? Yes. If they did it for the biblical reasons, they are loving because they're obeying God. So they are loving the child while they're spanking the child because they're obeying God. There are principles that lead to healthy relationships that God is saying to us. It is very huge. And here's the last one, anger. The Bible talks about how to manage anger in James chapter 1. The Bible talks about if we don't manage anger, it degenerates into some serious issues because Satan gets hold of it and it becomes bitterness in Ephesians chapter 4. When you start out in verse 25 to talk about this issue, he says it regenerates into bitterness and to wrath and to anger that is sinful. But choose to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. When we don't manage anger, the Bible says Satan gets a foothold and it degenerates into all those things. Bitterness, don't want to be around a person, can't stand to even see them close by. Anger, want to hurt them. Clamor, when they're speaking, you speak right over them. Slander, just going to say whatever it takes to hurt them, so I will lie against them. And Satan is a slanderer. So Satan gets a foothold on anger that is not properly managed biblically. I pray that we will be focused so that marriages, church relationships, honor God.
Thanks, Dr. Cannings. Such simple principles, and yet when they're not followed, they can wreak havoc on our lives. Scripture says, don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all your ways. So let's give up the control of others and our situations and allow God to help us.
You know, I had someone walk up to me the other day and said, hey, you so blessed me when I listen to the station and feed off the word that God has placed through you. Oh, that means so much. I had a person say to me, hey, you saved my marriage. I was really going to walk out on my wife. You saved my marriage. Oh, man, that moved me to keep pressing on in developing this ministry. I pray, folks, that you would support our ministry and become a part of it and share with us and the resources that we have, because that goes to the support of this ministry. Pray for us. Please, sincerely mean that. Pray for us. You'll share the word with other people and that you will become a partner, a regular partner with us. We would send you resources as a result. All you have to do is go to our website, powerwalkministries.org, and press the donate button. And it would explain in there how you could become a Power Walk partner. God bless you. It's been a blessing serving you.
Learn more about Power Walk by logging on to powerwalkministries.org. That's powerwalkministries.org. Or call us at 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. Now remember, unforgiveness may be the key to the relationships falling apart in your life. You can begin by receiving God's forgiveness and then extending that to others.